Have you ever found yourself thinking, I just wish I could eat whatever I want, whenever I want? Maybe you even remember a time when that seemed like it was true. Ah, the good old days, right? Isn't it funny how we seem to remember the past with rose-colored glasses? But nowadays, if you even look at a hamburger, you'll put on 5 pounds, right? Ugh. Today, we are diving deep into that burning question, why can't I eat whatever I want, whenever I want? We're going to talk about why it makes sense that we think this way, and we're going to explore why our desires may be a little bit more complex than just satisfying a craving. We're going to bust through some of those excuses that your brain gives you and discover what you actually want might be different than you think. So, are you ready to wander into the wilderness of your mind and wonder about that wish of wanting to eat whatever you want, whenever you want? Ah, yeah, you are. Let's go.
Do you ever feel like you know all the diet rules about eat this but not that, and so you know what to do, but you just have a hard time actually doing it? I'm here to tell you, you are not the problem. Hi, I'm Lizzie. Welcome to the Confident Body Podcast, where we talk about all the mental and emotional parts of weight loss that diets don't tell you. It's time to step past the shame and the guilt from old diets and stop feeling like you're waiting to lose weight in order to fully participate in life. If you're ready to drop the diet mindset and learn what it takes to truly feel happy and confident in your own skin, you're in the right place. Let's get started.
Well, hello there. Welcome back. I'm so glad you're here. Thank you so much for spending some time with me today. So today we are talking about that idea of I just want to eat whatever I want, whenever I want. So this came up in a recent conversation with a client who was going to be going on a cruise in the couple of weeks ahead. And she was very excited about the cruise, but she wanted to talk about how to prepare because her brain was giving her all sorts of reasons why she wanted to eat all the things and really wanted to eat a lot while she was on her cruise. But she was worried about coming home, having gained weight, and basically undoing all of her really hard-earned progress. And so we talked about a lot of different things coming up about the cruise. And so I said, all right, so what are some of the things that you're concerned about? And she's like, well, I feel like someone else is cooking the food. And so that's like amazing that I don't have to cook the food. I don't have to clean it up. It's like a complete gift and a miracle that this happens. And I really want to enjoy that and kind of, sort of revel in that feeling of I don't have to be in charge of cooking it and I don't have to be in charge of cleaning it up. I was like, okay, what else? And she said, well, it's already paid for. Like when you pay for a cruise, the food is there. It's sort of kind of all you can eat. And so I want to get my money's worth. And I was like, all right, that makes sense. And then she went on and she said, but here's the other thing. The food is going to taste so good. It's going to be delicious. Like I really want to be able to enjoy some of the unique things that might be served on this cruise that, it's not something I'm going to be cooking on a random Tuesday night. And she kind of wrapped up her thoughts about this cruise with, I just want to eat whatever I want, whenever I want. And that kind of terrifies me because I feel like I'm going to come home having gained 10 pounds. And, it makes sense, right? You can imagine going on a cruise or some kind of a situation where the food is already prepared, is already taken care of for you, is already paid for. Like a lot of the natural sort of guardrails are not there. And it can be a bit of a tricky situation. And I've actually talked to a lot of clients that are going on a vacation or particularly a cruise where there's almost some anxiety coming up in preparation for this, this event that would normally be something really exciting to get excited about. And they're like, I'm excited about the trip, but I'm also really worried about the trip. And that can sort of be a downer. So let's talk about this idea of wanting to eat whatever you want, whenever you want it. It makes so much sense that our brains have this thought because, we want to make the most of things. This feels special. Just as my client was saying, someone else is cooking it. Someone else is cleaning up. That feels so special. And like, what a gift. You want to enjoy it. You want to kind of almost like squeeze all the enjoyment you can out of this, what feels like kind of like a finite opportunity. Same thing, like if it's already paid for, I want to get my money's worth, right? And it's going to be really delicious food. And again, you want, there's this sense of scarcity, this sense of I want to make the most of this special resource, whatever it is, while I have the time. And, you know, it's interesting. It reminds me in a slightly different situation, but similar concept. It reminds me of when my husband was getting ready to go on deployments. You know it's coming. And so as the time gets closer, there's a sort of weird dichotomy between dread that like, ugh, deployment is coming, and also like, and we need to make the most of the time we have before he goes. And there's like this sort of like forcing it of like, we need to maximize our family time and just really have some quality time together. And as you might imagine, that doesn't necessarily lead to really great quality time, because you're trying so hard and you're getting kind of tense and really forcing it. And I remember his last deployment, we went out to dinner. It was kind of like our last date night before he was going to go. So it was maybe like a week and a half, 2 weeks before he left. And it did not start well. Over time, he went on 5 deployments and many other trips together. But like over time, we began to realize to expect the pre-deployment fight, because you're trying so hard to get the most out of this time together that like you're tense and you've got these things that you're trying to make happen while you're also dreading the time apart. And it just leads to tension and frustration and fights. Well, ours happened to coincide with our date night, which was awesome. And happily, you know, we made it through. It turned out fine. We had a lovely evening for the most part. But we get home and we're sitting in the car before going inside, and I was just sad. And, I'm a bit of an emotional gal, and so I was starting to cry, and I just was like sad and angry and frustrated, and just everything came out all at once. And I said to him, again, this is our 5th deployment before he left. And I said in frustration, I was like, I'm just not getting any better at this. And God bless the man. In his wisdom and patience, he said, good. I was like, oh yeah, I guess it would be bad if I was getting really good at, you know, being okay with him leaving. But that's a bit of a side point. But it illustrates the point that when we feel like there's a scarce resource, whether it's food or time or money, we worry, our brains kind of get this kind of scarcity feeling. We worry that there's not enough. And so we rush, we push to gobble up what's there. And as we rush and push, we end up missing the moment. We end up not actually enjoying the food, the time, the things that money can buy, because we're pushing so hard. So it makes sense why our brains do this, but it actually ends up having us enjoy it less. So let's go talk about those specific points that my client brought up. So she said, number one, someone else is cooking the food and cleaning it up. That felt so great to her. That was like, this is just amazing. And I said, okay, well, does the fact that someone is cooking the food for you and cleaning it up, does that change depending on how much you eat? And she's like, well, no, actually, that's going to be true no matter how much I eat. It's like, okay, so that's good to know. And then I thought, like, this feeling of someone else is cooking for you and someone else is cleaning up, it feels like a luxury, right? And she was like, yes, that's exactly the word. It feels like a luxury. And I said, well, can you luxuriate in the feeling of someone else doing all that work for you without eating more? Like, do you have to eat more in order to feel luxurious with this feeling that someone else is cooking it and someone else is cleaning it up? And she was like, no, actually, like, I can luxuriate in that feeling no matter how much I eat. I was like, okay, cool. And I said, well, tell me about the amount that you eat. Does eating more make it feel better that someone else is cooking it or someone else is cleaning it up? And she was like, yeah, eating more doesn't really impact that feeling. I was like, okay, this is good. Like, good to just sort of peel it apart and ask your brain some questions. Like, your brain's offering up this idea that I need to eat more and like, again, kind of gobble up this special resource because someone else is cooking it and someone else is cleaning up. But once we asked these questions, she was like, the amount I eat does not impact this feeling. And then we talked about the idea of a luxury. And so some other things, you know, because again, she was luxuriating in this feeling that like, oh my gosh, this is so great that someone else is cooking and someone else is cleaning it up. So we said, let's think about a luxury. What feels like a luxury? And we came up with a couple ideas like getting a massage, getting a pedicure, a facial, a haircut, all kinds of different things. And when you think about those specific examples, like you want to have the right amount of the luxury. And there is such thing as getting too much. For example, a massage, an hour-long massage is great. It's luxurious, maybe even a 90-minute one. But if you were getting a massage for 3 hours, 4 hours, after a while, you'd be like, could you just stop? I'm feeling bruised by now. Same thing with a pedicure. You know, they kind of, whatever they do on the, I don't get pedicures, but I'm pretty sure that they do something on the bottom of your feet. They scrape it or something. Like, there's a right amount of scraping off the old dead skin. And there's a like way too much, like this is getting to be too sensitive, too much. Or I once heard this great analogy of like a haircut. Let's imagine the person cutting your hair was like, I am really going to give her her money's worth when I cut her hair. I'm going to give her so much of her money's worth. I'm going to cut more than she wants. Wouldn't that be like not good? That would be too much. And so when you think about the idea of a luxury, someone, again, going back to the cruise, someone was cooking for her and someone was cleaning up for her. Like, you want the right amount of a luxury, and there is such thing as too much. And so you can kind of luxuriate in the right amount of it. So her second point was the cruise and the food is already paid for, so I want to get my money's worth. This comes up a lot, particularly when we think about like, I don't want to let food go to waste. That's where kind of money can come in. And so those two topics are tied together quite closely. But if you think about it, I said, okay, the money is already spent for the cruise, right? She was like, she's like, yeah, it's already been paid for. And I said, so is it coming back? She said, no, it's been paid for. And I said, will the money come back if you eat more? She said, no. I said, will the money come back if you eat less or an amount that feels good? Nope. The money is gone. It's left your wallet. It is not coming back. That's effectively what's called sunk cost. It is already gone no matter what you do next. And so eating more does not help your wallet because the money's not coming back. And eating more doesn't help your body or how you feel or your long-term goals. More is just more. It's not necessarily better. And so whenever you think about the idea of, I want to get my money's worth, remember the idea of sunk cost. The money is spent. It is not coming back into your wallet. Eating more doesn't make more money come back. Eating more doesn't help your body. It just is more. It's not better. Okay, so her third point was the food is going to be so delicious. It's going to be so special. And I was like, yeah, probably will. You know, it's not necessarily, again, something that she would cook on a Tuesday night. I said, okay, great. So you want to enjoy the special food. But how does eating more of the special food get better with more bites? And, you know, naturally you could be like, well, if I have more of it, I get more of the delicious thing. But do you really? Ask yourself, does food get better? Does it taste better with more bites? And this is actually a really interesting question to ask yourself. And I even devised a little experiment for myself to test this with wine, actually. Like, my brain thinks that more wine is better. And you can do this with any kind of food, ice cream, chips and salsa, whatever. Our brains will tell us more is better. But if you slow down and if you actually ask yourself, does this bite or this sip taste, or am I getting like kind of more enjoyment, the same amount of enjoyment or less enjoyment out of the previous one? It's a really interesting experiment to try. Just ask yourself, is this bite more, the same, or less satisfying than the last one? And you can do that, and it kind of really helps you slow down and realize that the first several bites, let's say 5 or 6, probably taste really good. And then the next couple are neutral. And then by maybe bites 9, 10, 11, you're kind of beginning to lose the taste of it. And there's actually some science to this, because the way that our taste buds are designed, that they begin to acclimate to the stimulation of the food and the spices, whatever's in there. And so literally, the more you eat, the less you taste. I'm going to say that again. The more you eat of a specific food, the less you actually taste it. So scientifically speaking, eating more does not make it taste any better. Now, one could say that eating more extends the pleasure. All right, maybe. But again, like, let's just get curious. Let's question that. Does it? What about the next day? What is your pleasure like the next day? Or is there perhaps even a negative impact the next day? If you take the overall net impact over time of eating more, what is the kind of plus minus there? You've got that positive impact in the moment, but as we just discussed, it's got diminishing returns, plus the negative impact of the next day, depending on how much you regret it. It could be even several days, maybe, who knows? But basically the net impact of eating more at best is neutral. Chances are you're going to have more long-term kind of negative guilt and I wish I hadn't over the kind of the more you eat. Which is like, it makes a lot of sense. Like your long-term thinking brain is like, okay, I get it. Intellectually, rationally, makes sense. And, but the problem is most of us are not in our rational intellectual brain when we're like, I just want more. So in those moments when your brain is like, I just want more, here are some kind of go-to questions / sentences you can ask yourself to kind of help you get a little space between stimulus and response. So you can ask yourself, does it taste good enough to be worth the time it will take to lose it? That question, the first time I heard it, I was like, oh, boom, dang. So I'm going to ask it again. Does it taste good enough to be worth the time it will take to lose it? Another question, or rather statement you can say is, yes, I want more, but I also want insert goal. So that might be, I want to be able to fit into those white pair of pants that I used to be able to wear. I want to be able to go to the swimming pool with my kids and actually enjoy myself rather than being, you know, focused on what I look like in my swimsuit. Or I want to be able to go on vacation and actually remember the vacation rather than remember feeling like I was trapped by whatever food we were going to be eating. So yes, I want it, but I also want goal. Another statement you can tell yourself is, a few more bites won't make this taste any better. Sometimes that's all it takes. A few more bites won't make this taste any better. Sometimes it's just a matter of distraction. Like, can I just stop and do something else for a few minutes and see what happens? Or you could even tell yourself, I know this will taste even better when I'm actually hungry again. And you can say, of course it tastes good. But if I put it away, I can enjoy it again tomorrow. Like double win, right? If you can enjoy it again a second day. So those are some kind of thoughts you can take to when you've got like really delicious food and you just want more. Some of those thoughts can help you give a little pause there between stimulus and response. And so finally, my client said, you know, kind of wrapping up her thoughts, she was like, I just want to be able to eat whatever I want, whenever I want. And this is a really interesting question. I had a different client one time who was feeling frustrated and she was kind of stuck in this story of like, it's not fair. And she said, it's not fair that I can't eat whatever I want, whenever I want. I should be able to eat whatever I want, whenever I want. And so again, you know, one thing I could do is just kind of ask her some questions. So I said, okay, let's explore that. Do you feel like you should be able to grab a purse that you want from a department store whenever you want? Do you feel like you should be able to flirt with somebody regardless of your relationship status or their relationship status? And should you be able to do that whenever you want? Do you feel like you should be able to just skip out on work and not show up whenever you want? And her response to those was like, no, of course, like I would never steal something from a department store and I would never, you know, flirt with somebody if I was committed or they were in a committed relationship. And no, I don't skip, like sometimes I want to skip out on work, but you know, I know that there's going to be negative repercussions for that. So no, I don't feel like I should be able to do that whenever I want. It's like, okay, so why is food different? Right? We all have guidelines we hold ourselves to that are useful. What's different about food? Why is it useful to be able to tell yourself, like, I should not be able to just grab a purse from a department store. I don't feel like that's fair. That's a useful guideline. Why do we feel differently about food? Why does it feel unfair to have kind of realistic guidelines around food? Because we're all telling ourselves a story. The examples above are stories we tell ourselves about what's okay and what's not. It's, you know, some, it's a story you tell yourself that you should not be able to just grab a purse. It's a story you tell yourself that you should not just flirt with anybody, regardless of their relationship status. It's a story. Not everyone has that same story. So it's not a fact. There are some people that think it's fine to take a purse. There are some people that think it's fine to flirt with somebody. So you get to tell the story that serves you. So if you have a story that says it's not fair that I can't eat whatever I want, whenever I want, try looking at your story a little differently. So let's do that. Why don't you question the statement? What does it mean to eat whatever you want? What do you actually want? And this kind of came up really clearly when I was talking to a third different client who she previously had lost weight kind of on a low carb diet, but that felt very restrictive to her. That felt very diety. And so when we were working together, she was working towards, you know, eating foods that she enjoyed, but kind of in moderation. And she found herself eating, you know, some donuts and pastries now and then, some sugary stuff. And she was really kind of working through that. And it was a couple weeks in where she said to me, she's like, I just don't feel great when I eat these things. I think I might want to go back to low carb, but I'm afraid. And I said, why? She's like, well, that feels like diet thinking. And I said, it's not diet thinking if it's the way you want to eat. It's not a diet if it's how you want to live your life. If it's how you choose to nourish yourself. If it's what you genuinely want, it's not a diet. It's just how you normally eat. And that kind of blew her away because she was like, whoa, what I want might be different than what I thought. And then let's look at the second part of the statement. So I want to eat whatever I want. We just questioned, what is it that you actually want? And the second part of the statement is whenever I want. So when do you want something? Let's think about, like, when does your body want something? There's a concept in science called interoception, which is basically you tuning into how does your body feel? And a really simple, straightforward example of this is, like, how do you know when you need to use the bathroom? Well, your body sends you a signal, and that, you know, is how you know it's time for me to use the restroom. And you can ignore that for a little while, but over time, like, it becomes pretty clear. But there's more than just that. There's, like, I feel tired. How do you know? Because you tune into your body. There's, I feel hungry. How do you know? Because you tune into your body. And same thing with, I feel full. Interoception is basically understanding and interpreting the messages and the signals from your body. Now, the problem is that we feel hungry sometimes for reasons other than what our body needs, for reasons other than fuel. It's an emotional hunger. And that basically is, I have an emotional need and my brain mistakenly thinks that food will solve it. And let's be honest, food does make it easier in the moment. Food is a very useful, quick fix. And there's nothing wrong with allowing food to help you handle a difficult emotion. There's another, probably a whole nother podcast I'll get into about this sort of feel better toolbox. I was talking to a client one time about how she was very frustrated that she always turns to food to help her with her emotions. I was like, there's nothing wrong with that. Your brain is looking for a way to help you feel better, and it opens up the toolbox and there's one tool in there. It's food. So of course your brain would turn to food to help you feel better. Our job, our goal is not to take away the food. It's not to take away the tool that your brain has been using for decades. It's to give you more tools to help you feel better in addition to food so that you have the right tools to reach for at the right time. Anyway, that's a little bit of an aside, probably a podcast I'll get into sometime in the future. But back to the idea of interoception. What does your body want? What are the signals that your body is sending you? And if you're hungry, but your body's like, I'm good, I don't need any food, then just get curious and say, what is it that my brain wants right now? Because my body doesn't need more food. So those are the kind of the ideas of, like, pull apart the statement of, I want to eat whatever I want. What is it that you want? and I want to be able to eat it whenever I want. Well, when do you actually want it? Probably when your body wants fuel. And if your brain wants something else and it thinks it wants food, just get curious about that. Long-term weight loss happens when the definition of what you want begins to change. The way that long-term weight loss happens is when your brain begins to change what normal looks like for you. What I want, what I genuinely want for me, that's when long-term weight loss changes. Another way of saying that is long-term weight loss happens when it's not about I'm doing XYZ to reach a goal, and it's about I'm doing XYZ because I like it. So for example, with my client who wanted to eat fewer carbs, her long-term weight loss happened when she was able to shift from I'm eating low carb to lose weight, and she shifted to I'm eating low carb because I like it, because I like the way I feel. So those are some of my thoughts on the idea of wanting to eat whatever you want, whenever you want it. Get curious and question. Maybe that statement means something more than you think or something different than you think. Okay, are you ready for your one tiny confident body action step to put into practice this week? Here we go. Next time you find yourself wanting to eat something when you're not hungry and your brain says, I just want it, slow down and ask yourself some questions. Number one, how can I maximize my enjoyment of this? Is eating more really going to help me enjoy it more? Just ask, just get curious. Second, does this taste good enough to be worth the time it will take to lose the weight? Sometimes the answer is yes. Sometimes the answer is no. Any answer is okay. Just like your reasons. And then the final question is, what would make me want something else for myself? What is the deeper thing that I want? So just get curious about those questions. How can I maximize my enjoyment? Does it taste good enough to be worth the time it'll take to lose it? And what would make me want something else for myself? So that's what I've got for you today. If there's anything in this episode that has helped you, I would love it if you would write a review. That would be amazing. It might help somebody else feel a little less alone and might help her shine her light a little brighter. And before we go, remember, love yourself, because what you want, what your soul wants, matters. And your soul wants to feel loved by you. All right, that's what I've got for you today. I'll see you next time. What? You made it to the end of the episode? Huzzah! You may have heard me say that my favorite part of every episode is the part about love yourself because. Why? Because loving yourself is the whole game, baby! So I decided to make an ebook out of my 52 favorite Love Yourself Because reminders. I had so much fun making this ebook. It's pretty, it's cheesy, and it doesn't even take up any space on your coffee table because it lives in your computer. Win-win, right? So head on over to confidentbody.coach/tips and enter your email to download your copy of the ebook, Love Yourself Because, 52 reminders of what it's all about. And in the meantime, remember, you are a miracle. So get out there and shine your light, baby.